The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, hello once again, everyone. This is Paul Orlowski, as you heard in the open, and another edition of God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And we really have a treat in store for you today because we're going to be talking to Sister Phyllis Ann. Sister is a member of the Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity, which is your order, Sister, but you're probably maybe best seen by people or known by people for your work at the Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine here in Cleveland.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me on. It was really nice of you to ask. So,
what people I don't think know, the Sister, is that shrine is the national shrine.
Correct.
For the United States of America.
Correct. Correct.
And it's just gorgeous. Can you describe it to me before we get into vocations?
Absolutely. The shrine was dedicated in 1926. So in 2026, we'll be celebrating the 100th anniversary of that dedication. It has the relics of Lourdes, France, meaning we have a little piece of bone from St. Bernadette, and we also have shards of the rock that Mary stood upon in Lourdes, France. And what we've done is they're implanted in the grotto that we have outside. So the water flows over those rocks that Mary stood upon. And it is beautiful. There's a winding pathway for outdoor stations. There's outdoor rosary path, and that goes over the hill. We used to call it King's Hill. Don't ask me why, but it was just called King's Hill. And the area used to be called Providence Heights. We're located in Euclid, Ohio. But it was called Providence Heights because it was a farm before us. It was a grape farm, and it was abundantly producing all kinds of things. And then later on, when it was became the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes, the graces that came from that shrine are just immense. Or just talk to anybody walking on the grounds or stopping in. You get all these wonderful stories.
There are actually crutches and knee
yes.
braces from probably, I guess, maybe the polio epidemic.
Absolutely. We have a little shed, and people have left behind items in Thanksgiving of miracles. If you want to, we don't have an official miracle, but they have been, you know. I guess it's in the eye of the beholder. So yes, we do have casts or shoes or crutches. The thing is, the illness of the past was physical. The greatest illness of the 21st century is psychological, has to do with being addicted to whatever, alcohol. We'll find those coins that'll say 6 months sober or 6 months without drugs. And we'll find them in the grotto area. So then what we do is we'll put them as evidence or as testimony in that little shed. So there's all kinds of things. It's just exciting to see. And we get letters as well when I was a child, my mom brought me there and I had a disease and we prayed and I drank the water. And when I went to the doctor, it was gone. I mean, just things
wow.
like that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
I guess you don't really have to be credited with a miracle to actually see them working and see them happening right in front of you.
Absolutely. It's interesting. If you go to Lourdes, France, which we are a direct satellite of Lourdes, France, we're one of the largest satellites, even though we're small, in the world. in order to have a miracle authenticated, it takes at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you have two boards. You have a medical board and you have an ecclesial board. And that changes every year with personnel. So everyone has a different opinion. And then you need to prove, it's the onus is on you. You need to prove that that is a miracle. If it was a physical miracle, you have to have your MRIs, or they'll even say to you, would you go get an MRI? But that's all on your dime or mm-hmm. big dollar.
Yeah.
You know, and that's difficult. It's expensive. So we're just like, well, you know what? You're happy now, or you're better now, or the doctor can't find the disease any longer. That's great. God bless you.
And you don't want to take the money away from the work.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've kind of gone a little bit backwards.
That's
here,
okay. That's all right.
But I did have one more question. I want to come back to the shrine.
Sure.
What is the scale of the shrine compared to Lourdes?
Oh, my gosh.
France.
We are so small. I think are we 42 acres? We're so small.
Well, the shrine itself, the actual grotto.
Oh, the actual grotto area. We can hold at least 300 people without COVID. with COVID, not so. But in Lourdes, France, I'm thinking they can hold like 1,000, if not more.
Okay.
So we are much, much smaller.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's get back to the beginning.
Sure.
The name of the show, God Calling. What called you?
How
did you become interested in
it? You know what? There's a part A and a part B to this story.
Okay, good.
Part A is very boring. Part B gets a little more exciting because I understand it better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Clevelander, a West Sider, and went to Catholic school all my life. And I did feel the call all my life. I was just happier with the sisters. I enjoyed being with them. I went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel West and the Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity. At that time, we no longer staffed that school, but at that time, the sisters staffed the school, and it was just great. And the sisters included us in so many activities. And when I went to high school, I had the Sisters of St. Augustine of Charity. They were great ladies. I love them too. But I was always tugged to go to the Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity. It was just, and it wasn't like I didn't like guys. I do. I mean, it's like, yeah, marriage and having children. I'm an only child coming from an Italian mm-hmm. family. So that would, you know, like, well, of course you're going to get married and have children. Well, it didn't
sure.
happen that way. But as I said, you know, the Italian family, we'd go visit in the summertime when I was a little child. I was like, the first time I went, I was like 2, then 5, then 8. And that was a great undertaking. My dad worked for the post office and he was a mail handler downtown. So we had to save, and every 3 years we went to go visit his family.
In Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the sisters who staffed the school in Italy in the parish were the Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity.
Hmm.
So when I was a child growing up, I only thought there were Sisters of the Most Holy
right.
Trinity. Those are the only sisters I knew. But they were so kind to me. They were kind to me even in Italy. I mean, people have these stories of like, oh, you know, sister hit me. And it didn't happen. Not to me or not to the in the school that I was at. So maybe I just got lucky.
You behaved. I didn't.
Maybe, I don't know. You know, being the girls, you know, the girls are always let go or something. So I grew up and went to high school. And in my freshman year of college, I entered the Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity. It was great. It was just really good. I mean, there were good days and bad days because, you know, you're out of your home.
Sure.
I said, only child. My grandma lived with us. My Italian-speaking grandma, my mom's mom. But I was still in Ohio, and the family would come visit. And just I was just really, really drawn to the sisters. You know, people want things, or people, like, desire things. Like I don't know, a new computer nowadays, or a new car, or a new phone. And that's great. I don't see anything wrong with that. What I do object to is once you get it, it doesn't satisfy you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a little kid, I mean, I wanted for nothing. We weren't rich, but later on I look back and go, wow, I really got a lot, you know? And I'm thinking, well, but once I got that toy, once I got that trip, or once I got whatever we did as a family, there was, like, you weren't full. You weren't satisfied. But as a kid or as a young lady growing up, you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so I entered, and that's lovely, and I went along my merry way. Okay, so
let's pause right there, sister.
Sure.
We're going to take a commercial break.
Okay.
Great place to stop for a minute or two. I don't look like I'm Italian. I'm half Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell from the dark hair and the heavy beard, right? But I can prove it because I know what a mappin is.
Oh, hey, yeah. But that's not even Italian.
Cause, isn't it? No, I didn't. Somebody always spills something.
Get the mappin. It's an American. The cloth is not called a mappin because it's not even dialect.
Okay.
It's a made-up word. There's so many words.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's made up from the immigrants that came. And so they couldn't say the real word. So they... It was mappin, like the bathroom. They used to call it back house.
Okay.
As that's what it was.
So my grandfather called the Volkswagen Beetles cockroaches.
There you go. Yeah.
But right. I thought the word was cockroach.
Yeah.
He meant cockroach.
Well, my grandma used to say Cam's Corner, right? She'd go, Cam's a corner. We got to go to Cam's a corner.
We'll continue with your location story in just a moment. We are with Sister Phyllis Ann of the Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity. We'll talk about that order as well. Coming up.
Okay.
Stay tuned. We're back on God Calling, Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity member, Sister Phyllis Ann, joining us. Sister, you took us up before the break to the point of entering. Tell us about formation and
certainly
how that went for you.
Okay. If you want to know the steps, the first step is postulancy. And in our order, at that time, you wore your own clothes. Now we have like a black and white kind of setup. Then in second year, it was called canonical year, where you receive the habit. Then the third year is just the third year of novitiate. You're still a novice. And then you approach the fourth year. In those days, they used to make promises. Now they make a simple vows. And then we go a whole 9 years. And then at the end, at the ninth year, then you make final vows. So, and that for me, that was in 1984, long time ago. So
that whole formation process took how long?
About 9 years. It was a long engagement. Yeah. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. It was a long engagement. So
I saw something online that practiced the Trinitarian tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
Okay. Trinitarian tradition deals with Trinitarian charism. And a charism is the Holy Spirit. It gives a spark to every order. And that spark dictates what the work is that the order does. For our order, we are Sisters of the Most Holy Trinity. We were founded in 1762 in Italy. But we are under the large umbrella of the Trinitarian Order, the Fathers, who were founded in 1198. So our charism is redemptive charity in any way, shape, or form. Our Mother Foundress was specific in the fact that we were teachers. So when we entered, that's what we expected to be. Nowadays, not so much. Not so much in the classroom. You know, you don't have to be in the classroom in order to teach the folks. It was her goal that we teach the people about God, to bring them to God, to educate them. And we have so many unchurched people today in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our role. That's what we do. And we do that at the shrine. What a perfect place to do it at.
Yeah, but what a tool to use.
Exactly. But we have days of recollection for all ages. We have, definite devotions for folks who would like to come. We have activities 7 days a week. We have Mass 7 days a week. So we've got all kinds of things going. If a group wants to come and visit, and then we take them around the shrine and introduce them to the different saints, this is our interpretation of redemptive charity.
And in today's world, you mentioned it's not so much physical afflictions, but emotional, mental.
Exactly. And it's a place, you know, during COVID, we were never at a loss for people. We have a lot of grounds outside, so they were outside. They bought a candle or two. We had everything closed down because of the COVID. If we were walking on the property and they needed somebody to talk to or just, you know, it was a place to go.
Easy place to social distance.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
What's your day like?
My day? Oh, my goodness. Well, I am the administrator of the shrine as well as being the superior of the sisters. And so we have Mass and prayers in the morning. After Mass and prayers, go do whatever personal things you have to do. And then I have an office. And my office is kind of like split now into two things. Work for the sisters and the order, and then the work for the shrine. For example, we just finished a huge reconstruction of our lavatories at the dining room. They're gorgeous. HGTV was a real good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. It looks like it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. So depending on whether I was on construction site or at the gift shop, what's going on, or in my office, right now it's a lot of correspondence. You'd be surprised. Christmas thank yous, all kinds of things that go out. Also, in communication with our general in Rome, we're supposed to have a chapter coming up. So we're in communication as to how we're going to do that, with this in the COVID situation. So it's kind of, and then at lunchtime, we have lunch. We eat quite regularly. We have lunch, then you're back to work. Then you, at 4:45, we have prayers. Then we eat again. Then we have prayers. And then we have what we call recreation. And usually that means watching TV, or some people crochet, some people do puzzles, some people play games. So it's all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's bedtime.
Yeah. And I'm looking at, I saw online some of the activities. Now you're also working in the chaplet, the mass.
Yes,
and
right.
Other prayers as well. I'm going to say it wrong.
Trisagion.
I've been pretty close.
Okay.
The Trisagion chaplet.
The Trisagion chaplet is an ancient Eastern devotion, and it is to the Trinity. And you say it in, of course, everything's in threes in our house. Whenever we ring the doorbell, it's three times. Everything, knock three times. It's to you be praise, to you be glory, to you be thanksgiving, O blessed Trinity. And we say a set of nine three times. And it's to give glory and praise to the Trinity. What we're taught in novitiate is, imagine incense in the incensor, in the thurible, and going up to heaven. That's what that chaplet is, giving praise to the Trinity. All of our prayers, we do say office, we do say rosary, but all of our prayers are geared to giving praise to the Trinity.
And you mentioned some of your work, but you are the mother house for the United States of America.
That's correct. Well, it's the only house we have right now. Yes, it is. We need a little bit of young blood there, maybe a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
you know. But yes, but we are located in Rome, Madagascar, Philippines, and have just begun vocations from Vietnam. Vietnam's a real tricky place because of the communists. They will not educate, or they will only educate so many people, or allow so many people to be educated in the faith. So those young ladies go to the Philippines because it's close in ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
And language, and also just kind of culture. So they go there for education with our sisters.
Are females discriminated against
more than men?
Is education more accessible to males?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I would just say that religion makes a big difference there. Very right. Anti-Catholic and anti-religion. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic or whatever.
Okay. A lot more to talk about with Sister Phyllis Ann here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. My name is Paul Orlowski. I'm here today with Sister Phyllis Ann. And Sister, we were talking about your call to the sisterhood. And what are you hearing from younger women today? Religious in general, getting somewhat older, pastors, males becoming pastors at a younger age.
Right.
What are women who are interested saying to you? What are they looking to discern, and how do you help them along the road?
Okay. Now it's basically one-on-one. Talking to a person, making relationships, establishing relationships. In today's world, not that there weren't any attachments when I entered in 77, but or 76, excuse me. But in today's world, there's so many things pulling people away from the call of Christ. And the call of Christ is within you. It's silent. It's quiet. You have to be quiet to listen to that whisper, you know. And unfortunately, how could you listen to a whisper when everyone is blaring at you with all kinds of media?
Mm-hmm.
And not that the young lady doesn't want to do it, but later on in life, they might hear the whisper, or they're looking for something. They try to find it. They're not satisfied. So, oh my gosh, that's what it is. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what I'm supposed to do. And so basically, discernment is sitting down one by one with the person and going through that process. And okay, so tell me about yourself. Almost similar to what we're doing today. Tell me about, what are you drawn to? What do you feel drawn to? What fulfills you? What is your passion? If it's to be a CEO, well, you never know, because you could be administrator of the shrine, or, superior of a house, or anything. I mean, religious are everywhere.
Yeah.
So
there's another quote that I read on the website, and maybe this is something you talk about with them. Conscientious fulfillment of obligations of my state in life.
Okay.
Am I doing all that I'm supposed to be? What do you mean by that, sister?
Okay. Your state in life. If you're married, you are married, do we believe it, you know, to one person. And so, you know, you're conscientious to the love of a husband and children and responsibilities. If your state of life is to be a religious, then you are devoted to the Lord. You follow. We have a rural constitutions that we follow, giving glory to the Trinity, giving praise to the Trinity, fulfilling the charism, fulfilling the obedience that you have. If you have an obedience and you're transferred to a certain place and you're supposed to do whatever it is. I mean, I was in a couple schools and I was principal and also taught that I needed to fulfill that. I needed to be conscientious to that. If you are, and you'll find the grace of obedience and the grace of religious life, it helps you get through the tough times. You know, you have to be open when you have that the idea of obedience, because you take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And that obedience is really kind of tough for folks sometimes.
Sure.
And here you're listening to someone who might be younger than you or someone whom you don't perhaps, oh my goodness, who is this person? But you have to realize that it's the Holy Spirit who moves things along. I mean, I know how many times, you know, I'm thinking, oh yeah, right, that's really going to work. And I do it. I did it. Mm-hmm. And it did. It really did. And it's like, oh my gosh. It's like, okay, God, I'm sorry. You had to prove yourself to me. But you did. And I'm like, oh, wow. Because we're human. And that humanity is always, always there. So it's just being conscientious to the state in life in which you are called.
I know exactly what you're saying, sister. In my career, I had 21 different news directors.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes this guy. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Dan's smiling behind the board over there. He understands. What I read another thing is the Holy Mother of Good Remedy.
Our Lady of Good Remedy.
Tell me about that.
Most religious orders have Mary as their patroness under a title. And Our Lady of Good Remedy is the title that we have taken for Mary at the whole Trinitarian order throughout mm-hmm. the United States, throughout the world. And what it is Our Lady of Mercy. It's Our Lady of Remedy. I'm going to redeem. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you be redeemed. I'm going to be with you. Go back to the Our Lady of Lourdes. Go back to Our Lady of Fatima. Go back to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And what was Mary's role? Mary's role was the mediator of the person and God and her son. And that's what Our Lady of Good Remedy is as well. She's the mediator. She's there to help us find the Lord, to help us be in good stead with the Lord. So mm-hmm. that's what Our Lady of Good Remedy is.
Redemptive charity. You mentioned at the top. Tell us once again, and then let's not be remiss and tell people about the shrine when you're there and what opportunities for worship there. But
absolutely.
Redemptive charity.
Redemptive charity is our charism. And I said, in any way, shape, or form, we took the form of teaching, which we still do, but just in a different way.
Using the shrine.
Exactly. We do. But our sisters in Madagascar, they are in infirmaries. Some are nurses. Some, I believe, there's a doctor there as well. You know, the sisters in Italy, now they're teachers. They're still teaching. The sisters in the Philippines, they have an orphanage that they have. So it's redeeming the human person, from whatever ill might be, and in a spiritual way.
You have to be adaptive to what
exactly.
The problems are,
and you know,
you are.
Our rule says that. Our rule says in to adapt to the culture of any region that you are in, mm-hmm. using that. So absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
The shrine?
Sure.
Mass every day?
Oh, yeah. We have Mass every day. Sundays is at 8 a.m. Now, we have a winter schedule and we have a summer schedule. And so we're open all year round. People are under the misconception that because we don't have outdoor Mass from November to April, okay, you're closed. No. We're there. The shrine is open to all people. People are invited to come to Mass and celebrate with us. The gift shop is open. The grounds are open. It's open from dawn, so sunrise, until dusk, sunset.
Got to talk about those breakfasts.
Oh, yeah. We have French toast breakfast. The next one's coming up February 6th. It's takeout or eat in, whatever you feel that you want to do. We do have social distancing, masking, and all that kind of stuff. We've adapted in the COVID world is what we have.
And after Mass on Sundays, breakfast is served.
No, not in the winter season.
Okay. No, right. Yes.
Only in the summer. So right. May through October. So it would be, I think this year, the first Sunday of May is May 1st. I'm almost positive it is.
Maybe.
And so they'll start then and they'll go through the end of October. That's after the 9:30 Mass, and that's outdoors.
Right.
Yeah.
I have some friends that attend regularly.
Oh, good.
I'm going to have to join them this year.
Please do.
Yeah. And then if people want more information, is there a website or a phone
yes,
number?
Yes, there is. There's a phone number, area code 216-481-8232. Our website is www.srstrinity.com.
Sister Phyllis Ann, thank you for joining us.
Well,
so nice of you to come down. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you
as well. Hopefully we'll see you this summer when the sun is shining and maybe we can get a little closer together.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Super.
This is Paul Orlowski. The name of the show, God Calling. We hope you'll join us next week right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the archive audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.